Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. That's tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
The Patriot is WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul, FM 107.5, K298CO Minneapolis, Intelligent Radio.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Biden's executive orders on border security issued this week are a little more than window dressing that will not solve the nation's immigration crisis. That's a view of House Speaker Mike Johnson. Speaking on the Salem Media Group news program this week on the Hill, Johnson says the president's actions are a little more than a publicity stunt.
He wants to be able to go out and tell people that, oh gosh, I tried to do something. He won't ever acknowledge that he is the one that created the catastrophe. It's so simple to fix, but it takes political will to do it. And as you noted, his party is divided because they have an open Borders caucus effectively in the Democratic Party, and he has a real problem.
Speaker Johnson added that the president's executive orders don't include several ironclad border security measures demanded by Republican lawmakers. America's employers added a strong 272,000 jobs in May, accelerating from April, and a sign that companies are still confident in the economy. This is SRN News.
Dennis Prager explains what the left is all about.
Remember, everything the left touches, it destroys. Not most things. Everything. And destroys. That's all it does. It builds nothing other than state power. It builds nothing. Liberals build, conservatives build, and the left destroys.
The Dennis Prager Show. Weekdays at 11 on AM 1280. The Patriot. Intelligent Radio.
You can get a complete custom water system for your entire home installed for half the price through this special offer from mndeals.com and Merle's Water Conditioning. Imagine having softer skin, sparkling dishes, and great-tasting drinking water. Get up to a $5,000 system installed for half price as low as $2,500. There's only one of these available from Merle's Water Conditioning. Go to mndeals.com and claim the offer today. That's mndeals.com, a service of AM 1280 The Patriot.
Every moment counts if you're at risk or living with lung cancer. And anyone with lungs can get lung cancer. It causes more cancer deaths than breast, colon, and prostate combined. It can feel like a race against time. And while there may be moments where you question your next step, it's essential to know that you don't have to confront lung cancer alone. Through it all, GoTo for Lung Cancer is here for you. From screening, treatment, and survivorship support, to finding the right care close to home, we are your community. As your friends, your guides, your teachers, your advocates, and your support system, GoTo is your go-to. Confronting lung cancer starts here. Visit goto.org today.
Need a roof? JTR Roofing. Need siding? JTR Roofing. How about windows? JTR Roofing. Call JTR Roofing for any of your home exterior needs. Serving the Twin Cities area in western Wisconsin, JTR Roofing is your one-stop shop for all things exterior. Residential or commercial, big or small, JTR Roofing has you covered. And don't let the name fool you. While they're experts in roofing, JTR Roofing also specializes in storm and hail damage repair. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Their name's not big enough because their services aren't limited to just roofs. They'd rather have a name that's too small than a price that's too big. For a free estimate, go to JTRRoofingInc.com. That's JTRRoofingInc.com. JTR Roofing, where quality meets versatility.
China is attacking the U.S. patent system, stealing American innovations, and we are helping them do it.
The Chinese Communist Party intends to surpass us and to be the world leader in innovative technology.
Innovation Race, the shocking new movie from the Tea Party Patriots, exposes the truth. China will use our own technology to threaten our economic and military security.
Dominating technology means you dominate the world itself. This is a race that we cannot afford to lose because we're not going to have a country.
If If China gains control over 5G technology with a flip of a switch, they could remotely turn off our phones, our cars, even our power grid.
We've lost sight of what it is to protect this nation.
We need to up our game.
In today's high-tech world, there's no prize for second place. Watch Innovation Race. Available now on demand or DVD at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Kerry Delve, and welcome to Wellness 1280 on Open Your Eyes Radio. Please listen as I discuss the newest information in the world of health, nutrition, and sports every Saturday morning, 6 a.m. Central Time on AM 1280 The Patriot. Also, please share your thoughts by emailing me at drkerrygelb@gmail.com. That's drkerroygelb at gmail.com. And visit my new website, wellness1280.com, where we have all guest links, Wellness 1280 info, and previous shows. Wellness is taking over the Patriot Airways for the next hour. Sit back and enjoy my conversation with Dale Christopher. More than half of American kids play and watch sports. For kids that refuse to read, books about sports can often be the answer. Matt Christopher is perhaps the best-known writer for young readers who love sports. With almost 200 books published and 40 million copies sold across four generations, readers have been enjoying books like The Lucky Baseball Bat, Nothing But Net, The Great Quarterback Switch, Dirt Bike Racer, and perhaps his best-known title, The Kid Who Only Hit Homers. The Kid Who Only Hit Homers and its sequels were not only the best-selling books in the series, and Matt Christopher's personal favorite, The Kid was adapted into a feature film in 2020. Matt understood and wrote about issues that face kids every day of their lives, as well as the importance of sports in their lives. When Matt passed away in 1997, his sons, Dale and Dwayne, kept the legacy and brand alive and continued championing the effort of the legacy of their dad, Matt Christopher. Today's guest, Dale Christopher, has launched a campaign to continue the legacy and start by creating the prequel to The Kid Who Only Hit Homers, The Kid Who Will Never Hit a Homer. Dale, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Gary. It's good to be here.
So let me ask you, Dale, the kid who never hit home runs. When you were a kid, did you hit home runs?
Once in a while. It was a rare occurrence if I did hit a home run, but I managed to hit a few.
That's good to hear. So tell us about your dad. Why did your dad write about sports?
Why Dad wrote about sports is because he loved sports. I mean, sports was his life growing up with all his brothers and sisters. And he just, you know, it was just part of his everyday being. And, you know, having younger brothers to play and, you know, being a part of his life, it was just natural for Dad to just stay with the sports. And, of course, baseball was his most favorite sport.
And who was his favorite team, and who did he follow?
Dad was a New York Yankee fan for sure, and he of course he liked Babe Ruth at the time. Never met the gentleman, but it was in his era, and I have to admit that Dad really, you know, shined when you know the Yankees were on, and even though you know, I wasn't necessarily a Yankee fan, I still went right along with Dad when it comes to watching the Yankees.
So did you guys grow up in New York? Where are you guys from, and where do you live now?
We grew up in upstate New York. It's actually in the Finger Lakes region of New York, and just outside of Ithaca. And Ithaca, a little town called Lansing, and that's where I grew up. And my older brothers and my older sister, my younger brother, we were all born in the Ithaca area. Right now, I'm living in Saratoga Springs, New York, which is still in New York, but it's just a little bit farther east. So I get back to Ithaca once in a while, and it's good to get home to see different people and the location. So
At what age did he start writing books?
He started writing books, I would say probably when he was in his 20s. I think the thing is that Dad started writing, okay, not just books, but short stories when he was in high school. And writing was something that he just loved to do. And, you know, before the books came into play, it was short stories. And, you know, you look at the late 30s and the early 40s, in which what was out there were magazines, comic books, and Dad would put together short stories. And sometimes those short stories would be the insert to a comic book. In other words, when you'd open it up to the very middle, it'd be two pages, and Dad's story would be there. So it started off with short stories, and they weren't necessarily sports either. Dad wrote a lot about mysteries. He loved mysteries. He loved science fiction. And, whatever came to his mind, he would write about. And those were the beginnings of his short stories. And the books came a little bit later.
So was he a trained writer? Did he get any kind of formal training in writing, or is something he just was self-taught?
I think for the most part, Dad was self-taught. I think he did at one time take a writing course. I'm not exactly sure where he did that. It might have been up at Cornell or someplace, since we lived in Ithaca. But for the most part, Dad, he read magazines about writing. And there is still a lot of magazines out there for writers on how to write or what to write. And Dad was he would get these periodicals all the time, and he would frequent them and he would read them, and that would help his writing.
I mean, so did he listen to the Yankee announcers back then? Was it Mel Allen or Phil Rizzuto?
I'm sure he did. Phil Rizzuto and Mel Allen, those voices just ring in everyone's ears if they remember the Yankees from back then. I'm sure he did. And like I said, he loved to listen to the games on the radio, and we didn't watch them on the TVs at all at that point, but we certainly were listening to them on the radio. And then very rarely would we make a trip to New York City and see a game, but it did happen once in a while.
So tell me about the kid who only hit homers. I want to be that kid. I play softball still. I still want to hit homers.
Well, the kid who only hit homers fit right into Dad's kind of like a fantasy. Okay. He loved fantasy. He loved to write about, things that were just out of the ordinary. And this book really put that together. The little character, the little boy, Sylvester Codmire, and again, I really don't know where Dad came up with that name, but Sylvester Codmire III, no less, was the character in the book. And he just loved baseball, but was not a good baseball player at all. And as a result of that, he tried hard to make the team, and failed, but with a little persistence, he was able to get on the team, but he still couldn't hit. He just could not hit. And in Dad's book, okay, a very, very important character shows up. And that character is called Babe Ruth. His name is Babe Ruth. And he kind of, comes into the scene and kind of helps Sylvester.
Well, hold on right there, because we have to go to the break. This is Dr. Kerry Gelb. This is Dr. Kerry Gelb, and I'm speaking with Dale Christopher about his dad, who was a big writer. You could get his books on Amazon. We'll be back right after the break.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
It's our spring sale at Master Pool and Spa. Now is the best time to buy. You'll save up to 30 to 60%. Get quick professional delivery and 0% financing. We have spas for any backyard or budget. Huge variety of sizes and features. Choose from one of our in-stock spas or built-to-order a custom spa. We're locally owned and family-run for over 20 years. Come in today and tap into our expertise to assist you in choosing the perfect spa for your family. You won't find any of those imported knockoffs here. All our spas are built in the USA with full nationwide warranties. Build an outdoor oasis and save thousands without the expense and maintenance of a pool. Spend more quality family time together while melting the stress away. Transform your backyard in one day and save up to 60% off at our spring sale. Visit Master Pool and Spa, 394 Louisiana, St. Louis Park. Call 952-253-0665. 952-253-0665. Be sure to tell them you heard it on the Patreon.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
This is Open Your Eyes Radio with Dr. Kerry Gelb.
This is Dr. Kerry Gelb. We're back with Dale Christopher. We're talking about Matt Christopher's sports books. He has almost 200 sports books, and you could get his sports books for kids mostly on Amazon.com. He also, Matt has a website, mattchristopher.com. And this is Wellness 1280 on Open Your Eyes Radio. And you could go to my website, Wellness 1280 on Open Your Eyes Radio, and you'll see all the past interviews that we have. Before the break, we were talking about the kid only hit homers. And so what happened was we have a kid who was striking out, couldn't make the team. And then all of a sudden, Babe Ruth shows up. And take it from there and tell us a little bit about the movie also while you talk about it.
Well, the unique thing about Dad's book and the movie is that Sylvester, the main character, the little boy who couldn't hit a home run, is the only one who can see Babe Ruth. And, you know, he talks to him, and his classmates see him talking, and there's no one there. I kind of think he's kind of, you know, a little bit wacko, but you know, at the time, Sylvester just didn't realize that no one else saw him except him. And but Babe Ruth helps him, shows him how to stand, shows him how to grab the bat, shows him how to swing at it, making sure his eyes are on the ball all the way in and keeping that bat level and hitting it. And after a few minutes, after a few tries, Sylvester starts hitting the ball. He starts hitting home runs. He starts hitting the ball right out of the park. So Sylvester and, you know, he eventually gets back on the team and pleads with the coach and saying that, you got to let me back on. I think, and so he does. And everybody still remembers Sylvester as a player that just couldn't hit. So they were kind of, you know, ridiculing him. But when he got up and that first pitch came to him and he hit it over the fence, everybody's face just went, they couldn't believe it. They could not believe it. And so it, you know, he then goes on and he really, obviously he helps the team because every time he got up, he hit a home run. And they went on to, you know, winning their league and doing well all around. But the thing that happened, though, was that in the book, and Dad wrote that Sylvester got a little cocky, okay? He was a big star now, and everybody was, you know, looking out for him. He was on their local radio stations, and it kind of went to his head. And in his conversations with Babe Ruth kind of pointed this out to him, that this isn't the way it's supposed to be, Sylvester. You know, you should take your success and don't flaunt it. And there was a message in there that Dad gave to his readers in that segment, in that whole part where he, you know, just, hey, I'm the greatest ball player ever now. And that just doesn't work. It doesn't work in baseball, and it doesn't work in life as well. And so he went on, and well, you're going to have to read it or see the movie in order to find out really what all happens in the end. So,
and they could get it on Amazon if they want it, buy the book. And how could they see the movie?
Well, the movie right now is, the other day, it's on a streaming app called BYU TV, believe it or not. Brigham Young University has it on, and it's free. So if you just create an account, which I've done, and just call it up, just search it, it will show up. And it's and this one is free. Like I said, I haven't gone to BYU TV in a while, but the last time I did, it was there. So that's one place you can see it. I know it was on Amazon Prime for a while, and on different locations it was still on. And also, I believe it was on a family channel, and this might be coming out of Canada, which I'm not sure. But so it's out there at different locations.
It's the kid who only hit homers. Now I want to know about the kid who will never hit a homer. The book that you're releasing and should be released by the time this radio show is being played. So tell me about that. The kid who will never hit a homer.
Well, the kid who never hit a homer is, like you said, like we all said, it's the prequel. And, you know, we are actively now, you know, getting people involved with trying to get this flowing and get it going. But the movie, but the book, and eventually the movie, it starts off in Cooperstown, New York, which we all know is the Baseball Hall of Fame. And what a perfect place to have this little boy begin his career, so to speak. And Sylvester, it's a contest that everyone enters to get an opportunity to do a sleepover. Okay, a sleepover in the Hall of Fame, which sounds kind of cool, really, in which they would, you know, they would bring all their, you know, mattresses or whatever, and hang out in the Baseball Hall of Fame. So it kind of starts that way, and it you know, it begins his interest even more than he already had in the baseball world, because like I said, he wasn't a very good ball player, but he loved it. He loved the game, and he just wanted to do his best as he could. And this was kind of an opportunity for him to really see what was out there, see the different people in the Hall of Fame, and get him more excited, I think, than he has been in the past. So again, it's going to be a great film and a great book. So we need your enthusiasm and help in order for us to happen. Thank you.
So is there any character that comes to help, like Babe Ruth in that story?
That's interesting. I'm going to have to review it a little bit to see whether or not that Babe this does show up. But you remember that there's a lot of old ball players at the museum, and any one of them could have helped him out at any one time. So
I can see we don't want to give too much away, but I can see all the ghosts of all the ball players coming to life while the kids are sleeping in the Hall of Fame, and having a maybe playing a game while the kids are there. So that sounds really, really, really interesting. So of the books that your dad wrote, which was your personal favorite?
My personal favorite was The Kid. Dad, even The Kid Who Wanted Homers, Dad, he wrote that book and he dedicated it to me. And I kind of took that to heart, even though I couldn't hit a lot of home runs. But that was my favorite. It definitely is my favorite book.
And was your dad much of an athlete?
Dad was. Oh, very much so. It was something in the Christopher family that, Dad and his younger brothers, they played baseball. And Pop, that's my grandfather, he encouraged it, and Dad was a good ball player. He, matter of fact, in the late 30s, he was playing out of high school and got noticed by a baseball scout, and the scout was from, believe it or not, the New York Yankees, and he ended up playing in the Canadian American League in 1938, 37 era, someplace in there. And the name of the Canadian team was the Smith Falls Beavers. It was a Yankee farm team. Back then, I'm not sure if it was labeled A, B, C, and D, but it was one of the smaller, franchises. And but it still was a Yankee farm team. So Dad got an opportunity to play for them. He played third base, and he was a good hitter, and that was one of the things that got him the notification. And he went up to Smith Falls, and he played for the Beavers for not very long, about 3 or 4 months. And even though Dad had some good days, he had trouble with the hitting, and I can remember Dad saying that he it was a bigger league, it was a bigger competition, and even though he was a good hitter, he was running into some good pitching, and they let him go after about 3 or 4 months. So Dad was, of course, disappointed, but that didn't stop him from playing the game that he loved.
So Dad, we're written up into the break. Did he play with anybody that was famous? Hold that thought for a minute, because we have to go to the break. This is Dr. Kerry Gell, Wellness 1280 Radio on Open Your Eyes Radio, speaking with Dale Christopher about his dad, prolific book writer. We'll be right back.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot, being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
For anyone living with everyday aches and pains, there's lots of things you can try. You know, tough it out. Bite the bullet. Grin and bear it. Or you can try something that has helped so many other people. Relief Factor. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free, a daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients that address the inflammation where it starts. And Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps reduce or even eliminate it all day, every day. Wherever you're hurting, your back, neck, joints, or muscles, in about 3 weeks or less, you'll see a difference and rediscover what it's like to feel better and live better. So if everyday pain is affecting your life, don't go with the mind over matter approach. Try a Relief Factor instead. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800 the number for relief and save on your first order. That's 1-800 the number for relief. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot, being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
This is Open Your Eyes Radio with Dr. Kerry Gell.
We're back with Dale Christopher, who's talking about his dad, Matt Christopher, who's wrote close to 200 children's books, mostly on sports. And, you know, it's fascinating to learn about a writer. So is that how your dad made a living, through writing, or was he something first and then he became more of a writer where he was able to make a living writing books?
Well, in the beginning, Dad, he had a lot of different jobs. Okay, writing was a hobby for the most part. And he would write, you know, his short stories and then eventually his books after work. And, you know, we lived at different places. We lived in Syracuse, New York, and Dad worked at the General Electric Company there. And when we lived in Ithaca, he worked Smith Corona Typewriters in Groton, New York, nearby. And so Dad had to, you know, supplement the income by working. Because a short story didn't really make a lot of money. If he got a check for $100, that was awesome. And I could recall Dad opening up envelopes and seeing a check there for $100 or $200. And it was just, he would just beam because they took his story, they printed it, and he was just thrilled that this was happening. But even though that one or two checks came in, tenfold, hundredfold were the ones that did not come in. And they were, you know, rejections after rejections after rejections. But Dad didn't give up. He would take those rejections and fix it up, resubmit it, and hopefully that it would be well enough, good enough in order for them to print it. So he just continued. He just never gave up on his writing. And after a while, when he started writing the books, okay, his very first book, like you mentioned earlier, The Lucky Baseball Bat, 1954. And throughout that time frame, the 50s to the 60s, his publisher, Little Brown and Company, out of Boston, but now they are in New York City, they realized that they had something with Dad. And they were asking him to come up with books, you know, two or three a year. And so he was really pumping them out, so to speak. Not just baseball, but basketball, football. And I can recall when I was in high school. And Dad and Mom sat down at the kitchen table, which they did often. And Dad made a decision that he was going to write full time. And I can remember Mom crying. She was kind of nervous, saying that there would not be a paycheck coming in every week or every other week, or however Dad got paid. And he would be just writing books. And as an author, he got paid twice a year. So it was really a stretch. And but Dad was convinced, and he convinced Mom. Mom would pretty much do anything that Dad wanted her to do overall. And he started writing full time. And he was successful. It turned out to be the right decision. And like I said, I was in high school. And I really, you know, I knew my dad was an author. I really didn't, at that time, realize that he was famous. He was getting to be famous. And, you know, once I graduated from high school and on to college, you know, Dad would contact me a lot about his new books, a new story. And he would run it by me, and I really appreciated it. Then it was during that whole time frame that I realized that I've got a father that is so prolific and so famous. It was just incredible. But like I said, though, he worked different jobs. He could do a lot of things. He was a very talented man, and so once he stopped these odd jobs, I shouldn't say odd jobs, but stopped his working. He just wrote full time, and that was all day long and all night long. And I can remember him in that typewriter, a typewriter now, just typing away. And tap, tap, tap was right in my head all the time.
What kind of research did he do for his books?
Well, depending on the sport, he made sure that he knew. For instance, we lived in Ithaca, and Dad was asked by Little Brown to write a hockey book, ice hockey. And at that time, Dad never played hockey. You know, he was a baseball, football, basketball guy, soccer a little bit. And I can remember the only time the Pee Wee hockey players in the Ithaca area got ice time up at Lionel Rink up in Cornell was like Sunday mornings at 5 o'clock. I mean, so Dad, he would get up and he would go to Ithaca, up to Cornell University, and he would sit down with the coaches and watch the Pee Wee players play hockey early in the morning. And he learned, okay? He learned about the game, and he was, you know, once he got to the point where, hey, I understand the game, I can now put it in a story. And so that was the type of thing that he did. He made sure that he knew. He knew about the rules and knew about what the different, you know, the different aspects of the game, and which he put into his book. So it was quite a process. It really was. I mean, I didn't him asking me to go up to Cornell with him. I said, okay, I'll do it one time, but that was too early for me in the morning.
Well, the break before, I asked if your dad played with any famous baseball players. Do you know if he did or not?
Well, yes. Matter of fact, after he left the Beavers, Ithaca, New York had a pretty well-known Ithaca baseball league. Now, they didn't get paid at all, but it was pretty competitive. And one year he was, along with other ball players, was asked to play an exhibition game. And they were going to play against the New York Giants. And if you remember that, the New York Giants was the name of the team of the New York area. And he was going to face Mel Ott, okay, Johnny Whitten, Bill Terry, Bob Seeds. These are names that were, you know, maybe not necessarily well known, but Dad was going to end up playing against them, and he was just thrilled, especially Mel Ott. I think that name is most notable in this case, but he was thrilled. He really was thrilled to play against them. And it was an exhibition game, but still, it was a game.
Did they wind up playing?
Excuse me?
Did they wind up playing the game?
Oh, yes, they did. Oh, yes. Yep. It was a fundraiser, if I remember correctly, to the former Giants manager. His name was John McGraw. And the game was used to provide funds for him and his legacy. So,
and did your dad get a hit in the game?
I'm not sure if Dad did or not, but I'm going to say yes. I mean, he had to. He was just that good. So, but I'm not sure at all, Doctor.
So you're interested. Well, your dad wrote about extreme sports, and how did he get interested in writing about extreme sports? I have a son. Who's very interested in extreme sports, and as a parent, it makes you crazy. He does, you know, rock climbing, and he's an extreme skier, and you know, and it's funny because my son, his name is Justin, when he was a little kid, I couldn't, you know, when he was like 8, I couldn't get him to go on the roller coaster on the Jersey Shore. He was scared, but something flipped as he got older, and now he's, you know, he's an adrenaline junkie. How did you get interested in that?
Well, the extreme sports, you know, looking back in the timing, you know, I mean, they came in later, okay? Mom and Dad lived in Florida for a short time. And while they lived in Florida, Dad's publisher asked him to look into some extreme sports, skateboarding, dirt bike racing. And while Dad was in Florida, he researched those types of games and types of sports. And again, he learned about them. and ended up, you know, making and putting together some stories that surrounded that type of a sport. But Dad wasn't a skateboarder. he never really, you know, did any of that himself, but he certainly learned, and that was something that
we're up against the break. This is Dr. Kerry Gell.
Okay.
And we're speaking with Dale Christopher, and we're talking about the legacy of his dad, Matt Christopher, about the great books he read. We'll be right back.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter, Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot, being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
When I found out I was pregnant, I panicked. I was afraid, feeling pressured. I didn't know what else to do.
I was 9 weeks along and didn't know there were other options.
I didn't know the baby already had a beating heart.
I didn't know there were couples waiting to adopt. I called the confidential hotline and learned the facts. I found an option that both my baby and I can live with.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people. So often we get calls just like this from men and women seeking help and alternatives. Our 800 hotline connects callers to the services they need for pregnancy, adoption, as well as post-abortion assistance. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of confidential counseling or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or check us out on the web, prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is educational, non-political, and tax-deductible.
Pro-Life Across America.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter, Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot, being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
This is Open Your Eyes Radio with Dr. Kerry Gelb.
This is Dr. Kerry Gelb. We're back with Dale Christopher, son of Matt Christopher, on Wellness 1280. We're talking about the great kids' books on sports. Dale's son, Matt, wrote, his father wrote close to 200 books on different sports topics, and we're speaking about it. Right before the break, we were talking about extreme sports and how his father got into it. Growing up in upstate New York, were you guys skiers?
No. Skiing was not a part of our repertoire, so to speak. It was just something that we never did. It was probably a financial decision, really.
So your father passed away in 1997. How old was he?
Dad was 80 years old.
He was 80 years old. Okay.
Yeah, he was 80.
And when did he write to, up until what age?
Dad was writing, he was still writing stories well into his 70s. And he would write a lot of what we call a synopsis, okay? And these synopsis were perhaps maybe 100 words or so. And it was during the 70s that, when he was in the 70s, that his typewriter was no longer useful. He ended up getting a computer. And that was a tough decision, by the way. It really he really fought hard not to use the computer. But anyway, he ended up getting a computer, and he ended up putting a lot of these synopses, which is just basically an outline of a story, on his computer. And matter of fact, after he passed, my brother and I, Dwayne, we went to his computer, and we found a lot of these synopses. I have a feeling that Dad saved them somewhere and totally forgot where he saved them. And so the two of us ended up, you know, taking the synopses, printing them out, and sending them to Little Brown and asking them whether or not the synopsis could be turned into another Matt Christopher story, which they did. So it was kind of interesting that, you know, that Dad, he wrote right up to the end. And it was just something that this is what he did. And like I said, he always confided with us, confided with me, and about stories, asked my opinion. And it was fun to be involved. Even though I was in college or out of college, he still made an effort in order to run things by me, which I totally loved.
And I understand there's a flag football story in the future. Tell us a little bit about that.
Ooh. Well, that is something that's coming up. Okay. Obviously, it's on the, you know, it's in the arena now. It's something that kids are playing and adults are playing. And it sounds like, it not sounds like, but it's something that, hey, maybe we will put together a story and with a little less contact, so to speak, and we'll see how it works out.
So all his stories had morals. If you could talk about some of the morals of the different stories, what he wanted to teach children.
Well, Dad had a very humble life, and his life was family, and there were so many things that Dad shared with his readers about his life. I mean, his honesty, his integrity, his, you know, just to do things right. It was that important to him in order to relay that type of a message across in all his books. And, you know, even though it was different sports, there was always that message in there of some sort of some sort of a life-giving thing. You know, we like to go to church. We went to church. We ate supper together. These family values that we grew up with, Dad always put them in his books, hoping that kids read them and saw that, hey, this was the thing to do. And it's tough these days with single parent families, I know. But Dad wanted to make sure that when he wrote these books, that he mentioned these things, that this is what is really, it's all about, all the family values and the morals that he shared with everybody. And it still is so important today. All those books, they have a message to everyone, even today. If someone could pick up a book of Dad's that he wrote back in the 60s, and there's something in that book that a kid, a girl, a boy is certainly going to understand and be a part of.
Let's say kids between 6 and 9. What book would you recommend for them, whether if it's a boy or a girl? Which book would you recommend for that age?
Oh, that's a tough question. A 6 year old, okay, you're looking at a first, second grader. Dad did write for a younger age group. And he put together a series of books. Again, here is Dad in his fantasy world. He had a character that was a dog that could talk to his master. And so Dad put together these picture type books. They were chapter books, but the dog that stole the pitch, the dog, I'm trying to think of some other ones that Dad wrote, but it had the dog in it, and it would talk to its master. And so it was kind of interesting, but like I said, it was for a younger group, and it had a lot of illustrations, okay, not compared to the, say, a sixth grade or seventh grade story, which, might have one or two illustrations. It's sad that a lot of the books nowadays don't have illustrations. It's really, it's kind of sad, but that series of books is still out there today, and they're popular with, like I said, first, second graders, and it's something that I always found fun to read.
And how about the teenagers? What books would you recommend for teenagers?
You're looking at a teenager now it might be just a little bit older than what some of Dad's books are for. I think that, I can't think of any book in particular, but I know that, going to schools, which I did quite frequently a while ago, going to schools and talking about Dad's books, that sixth and seventh graders were still picking up, what we call the classics. The classic was the type of book, The Kid Who Won't Hit Homers and The Great Quarterback Switch and so on and so forth. Those were classics, and teenagers, they found them easy to read. Okay, if they had to read a book.
Finishing up now. Tell me, you got about a minute left. The Kickstarter campaign, and how can our audience help you bring your father's legacy to life and movies to life? What can we do? What can my audience do to help you guys?
Well, first off, you can obviously, the Kickstarter is something that we are thrilled about doing, and it is going to really help overall the continuation of Dad's legacy with a new book, and then, of course, we hope a new movie. And I think that Dad's readers now can be a part of that, and we encourage their participation immensely, because it's going to be fun. It's going to be great to have, another round of Matt Christopher books coming out.
We're up against the end. This is Dr. Kerry Gell.
Okay.
Thank you, Christopher, for joining me. Go to mattchristopher.com to help out if you can. This is Dr. Kerry Gell. See you next week.
Attention drivers, are your brakes screeching, grinding, or simply not stopping like they used to?
Don't wait until it's too late. At Inver Grove Hyundai, we're rolling out an offer just for you. Introducing our brake special. Right now, get $25 off when you replace your front or rear brake pads and your front or rear rotors. That's right, for a limited time only. Enjoy smoother stops, quieter rides, and safer travels. Our expert technicians are standing by to ensure your vehicle stops on a dime every single time. So why wait? Take advantage of this offer today. Visit Inver Grove Hyundai at the newest Hyundai facility in the Twin Cities off 494 and Highway 52 in Inver Grove Heights. Our new customer waiting area has all the amenities you'll ever need for the best experience. Ask about our flexible payment options to get you back on the road sooner. Get pre-qualified in minutes and choose payment terms that work for you. Visit InverGroveHyundai.com today. Offer valid for a limited time. See dealership for full details.
AM 12.